So let's open our Bibles, Psalm 45. I want to show something to us there, and then I'll just use that one to explain something about the issue of worship. You know, we started some time ago, we were talking about understanding praise and worship, thanksgiving and stuff like that, and we are still on that matter. I want to just bring out something there from Psalm 45 to explain a principle. It says, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Then he said, thou art fairer than the sons of men. That is, I'm addressing my verses to the king. Grace is poured upon thy lips. He said, therefore God has blessed thee forever. Now said other things. He said, guard thy sword on thy thigh, O most mighty, in thy splendor and thy majesty, and in thy majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. He said, let thy right hand teach thee awesome things. Then he continued to speak in verse 6. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above thy fellows. And he continued to speak and all of that. You see things like that going down to around verse 9. There's something else. I want to bring up something, all right? But there's another scripture I want to read. That's in Revelation chapter 4. There's something I want to bring from there, you see. If you read the verse, this was John talking about what he saw in heaven. And he said in verse 9, chapter 4, and when the living creature gives glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever. And we cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. Now there's a reason why I read this, and you'll see it in a moment. Some time ago, somebody said to me that one of the things he's learned, one of the most important things he has learned from me as a person, which really gladdened his heart, is that I explained why God created man. Sometimes people will tell me things I said, and I'll say, oh, you mean I said that? Praise God. I said that. Wow, that must be true. Yeah, well, of course, it wasn't too... When I heard it, I said, okay, yes, I said that. But I didn't realize it was such a deep truth for somebody. And let me explain to you, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, why did God create man? I don't claim to know everything. In fact, nobody does. You know, as you keep living and you keep learning and you keep experiencing things in life, you keep learning. So this is just one aspect of what is true. Why did God create man? Now, if you see, for you to understand things that are in the heavens, all right, you will have to see things that are on the earth. All right, God expresses his thoughts, his ideas, things that are in the heavens through things that are happening on the earth. All right. So if you see the way things are, in fact, Maurice Cirillo will tell you all truths, all right, are parallel. So when you see something occurring on the earth, it gives you an idea of what is happening in the heavens. And if you're able to see something happening in the heavens, you will see those things begin to occur on the earth also. Now, so when you want to understand why God created man, you just look down at something that he did on the earth. And this is, I'll just be brief about it so I can get to the main thing I want to say. If you check something, at the time of creation, God did something. He created, from Genesis chapter 1, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon something. You know the story, all right? And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he did all of that. Having done everything, at the conclusion of it, he now created man. He now said, now let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And then, after a while, now look at this closely. One man was created, the man Adam. And the man Adam was there. And then the Bible makes it clear that there was none that was found. Now, if you go and read that story, let's just look at it so that I will be quoting it correctly. You see, so after he created that man, and every time I've had to preach at weddings, which I've done quite a bit, a number of times, this is what the message I preach all the time, although I lay my emphasis slightly differently. If you see in verse 25 of chapter 1, the Bible said God made the beast, just summarizing everything. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and all of that. And then verse 26, he now said, let us make man in our image. And after he made that man, you will see something in verse 18 of chapter 2. He said, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he will call them. Please notice this in case you have never noticed it. Or you have not read it, shall I say yes? I discuss it inside the book, all right? You will see, he said, let us make a helper for this man that is suitable, all right, for him. Like literally, the word there in Hebrew is corresponding to him. Somebody that's just like him, all right? Now, before God decided to make Eve, the first thing he did was to prove that there was nothing like what he needed in existence. Now, notice that. He said, let us make a helper suitable for him. And I said in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And notice, verse 18, let's go back there so you can follow it. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Then in verse 19, he said, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. You know what that tells you? The first place that the helper was sought for Adam was simply amongst the beasts of the field and every bird of the sky. And God brought them to Adam to decide that which one of these ones fit you. And they both agreed, none. All right? All the story of the woman thou givest me, Nabobo. It's not true. Because it was an agreement that of all these ones, nothing. You see the very next verse, the Bible says, and the man gave names to all the cattle. What did he do? What did he do? All right? And to the birds of the sky, and to every beast, he was the one giving them names. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. That is, in the process of giving names, they were checking whether there was one that was fitting. You saw the giraffe, your neck is too long. Are you getting what I'm saying? Saw the hippopotamus, if you fall on me. Are you getting what I'm saying? They look at the whole thing, and nothing was in order. And notice this, it was giving what? Names. He was giving names. He was describing their character. He was describing what they were good for. He was telling them what they could do and what they couldn't do. That's the meaning of the word, giving names, or the expression. Now, you now see the next one. So the Lord, now, is it, what's the word? What's our first word? What's the first word? What was the first word? So. That is, as a consequence of the giving of names amongst which we found no helper suitable for him, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God formed into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. Before I read that one, notice in verse 20. No, sorry, in verse 19. Out of the ground the Lord brought every beast of the field and birds of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. In verse 22, and the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib he had taken from the man and did what? And did what?
Brought her.
The same thing. To him to see what he will call her. And this time around he answered, this is now, he gave this one a name, bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Are you seeing that? Who gave her the name? The same way Adam named every other thing. God says, none of this one is your type. What am I saying? The reason why God created the woman was to bring somebody that was exactly the type of Adam that could be a helper for him. That's why the dog cannot be his helper. You understand my point? No matter how much the dog loves him, it's not his type. You get what I'm saying? Now, normally when I teach this at Bible at weddings, and I wrote it in that book, Should I Say Yes? What I emphasize on is the fact that he called her a name. And so whatever name he called any of the living creatures, that was its name. So when it came to the woman, whatever name he called her, that was her name. So I always instruct husbands, when you marry, whatever name you call your wife, that will be... you didn't get catch that. That will be her name. So, you know, like I wrote in the book, I'm not talking about marriage now, all of you, don't wake up, but I'll give up to my message. So that's why, number one, find a very nice pet name for your wife. Apart from that, say things that are positive. Do you follow what I'm saying? Stop saying things that you women are so careless. That's whatever you call her, that will be her name. She will become Mrs. Careless. Do you get my point? And the Bible says she's corresponding to you. You will soon catch it. So that's why I say be careful. All right? Don't anything you keep on repeating, she will conform to that image. If you keep on telling your wife she's very beautiful, she looks very nice, she will start dressing very well. She will start using very nice makeup, arrange it well. You understand my point? Everything will come in order. All right, so that's really where I lay the emphasis when I'm talking at weddings. But today what I'm talking about is the fact that God created a woman for the man so that they could be alike and they could have, let me use the word, fellowship, relationship, because they will be of exactly the same type. Without going into details of how I arrived at this, although I'll say one or two things, you will see that was the same reason. This is a physical thing, but the spiritual parallel is this. When God wanted fellowship and companionship, are you getting what I'm saying? That was when he made the man. And you will see, he used to come in the cool of the evenings to have a chat with him. What he did not do with the angels. You never read it anywhere that they had that kind of relationship. Do you get my point? He looked at Angel Michael. It didn't work. I don't know what I get my point. He made his minister, those angels, all right? Spirits and flames of fire. They can do work. They are very, very effective. But as for sitting down in the cool and discussing matters, it does not work. Look at all the warrior angels. You know, I was listening to the Bible on CD, you know, Book of Revelations over the last few days. And, you know, some of the truth of this life, we don't want to hear it too. And I won't go there yet. There are all kinds of angels. There are some angels that you cannot distinguish between them and demons. They look alike. They do the same job. Well, maybe they don't look alike, but their effect not the same. And they should destroy. There are some spirits you are saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I'm not getting rebuked. Now, that Jesus sent me this assignment. I was listening to it. That is, some angels, terrible things. They will release their hands like this and destroy one quarter of the men that they see. Kill all of them. And they are not evil spirits. We're not talking about that now. There are all kinds of angels. Like I always say, in Egypt, the Bible said there was an angel of death. Whether that was a demon of death, I don't know. But what the Bible said is what? Angel of what? Yes. They kill people. If you go and read, when David sinned against God, when he looked up, what did he see? An angel with the sword drawn. That guy didn't come from hell, came from heaven. People, you know, always think as God only does nice, nice things. All these angels, they know how to just rub your back, belly. Child of God, don't do it again, or just rub your back. No, some of them pour on your face. The Lord is good. Anyway, whatever it is, all kinds of angels exist. That's what I'm trying to say. There are some that sing very nice songs, beautiful songs. The orchestra, all right, that they lead, powerful. The members of the team, powerful. Some know how to rearrange. Like Monica will say, when she was in Search and Rescue, that was touched by an angel. All right? Quickly put the rail back in place so that the train will not derail. Stuff like that. Some angels are very good. But amongst all of them, there was none found fitting for the Lord. Are you getting the principle? Therefore, he came and then created man in his image. After his likeness. He did not make any angel in his image and after his likeness. You have what I'm going to explain. So you see, that's one thing I understand. Why he created man. That's why he did it. And you see afterwards, he used to come in the cool of the evening to come and fellowship with that man. And what did they used to discuss? I just assume they used to gist about different kinds of things. how butterflies are beautiful. All right? Yes. And I'm going to talk to, because what I want to talk about today, the title of my short meditations, and then we'll use it to pray towards the end or next time, is Bonding with the Lord. What did I call it? Bonding with the Lord, all right? And anyway, another thing I should say before I talk about what they used to talk about, one of the ways you will understand what I'm saying is true. You see, when the Bible will describe the church of God, it will call them the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand the point? And if you go and read Songs of Solomon, very beautiful book talking about a romantic relationship between a man and a woman. And that was a type of Jesus Christ and the church. You see things like that. And the Bible tells you that husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is, because why he created Eve for the man is the same reason why he created mankind for himself. You are following the point I'm going to make here. Therefore, the relationship that men should have with God is the type that a woman should have with her husband. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I'm talking about something today, and I said bonding with the Lord. So you see, you know, I say something that's my own personal experience. One of my students saw me the other day. It was very, very funny. He said, "I was your student, graduated 2005. I said, okay. We talked, and I said that, how are you doing, sir? I said, "I'm fine." "Your children, how's the family?" I said, "They're fine." He said, "Do you still love your wife?" And I understood what he said. And I laughed. I said, "Yes, I have no choice." Because I didn't know, my gist had gone everywhere, that Dr. Krishna always talks about his wife. So the man saw me 7 years after leaving school, which makes it 9 years. So he looked at me and said, "Sir, how's your wife? You still love your wife, right?" I smiled. I said, "You can be sure. I have no choice." Well, the reason is that the guy is always, that man always talking about his wife. One day somebody saw, he just heard somebody mention my wife's name. So the fellow ran to come and see who she is. Say, "Oh, so this is the woman this guy is always talking about." Now, I'm talking about bonding. Now, bonding. So I say jokingly, but truthfully, that I use any network that gives me free calls to my wife. When Glo was doing Glo Infinito, I didn't care what they charged anybody else or me calling anybody else. As long as they were charging that small 120 cover to call one special number, I simply put my wife on that one special number. Then if you tell me it's 50 naira a minute to every other person, I don't care. I say it all the time because that's the person I call most. So if you charge 100 naira a minute to every other person, it's still cheaper for me. Once that one is 1 naira a minute, because that's the person I call the most. And talking about bonding now, the way by which you bond with people, the way I understand it, is by talking with them. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's by talking and conversing. It's not by praying with them, really. You know, praying, people say that if you pray together, you stay together. It's good, though. You should pray together, amen? But I think you stay together more if you talk, you understand? Yes. I even know there are friends who hang out a lot. They don't pray together. They just drink together. They just eat together. I mean, they pray in church, but after service, everybody has disappeared. How many of you are well bonded with the prayer warriors in your team in church? Think about it. Are you getting my point? It's very good to pray together, but the real bonding, is in what? Talking. It's in the person you talk to the most, all right? And I want to encourage us now, because we're talking about praise the other day. And there's something I said when I was talking about praise. I said, praise, there are two sides of it I said. It's what you say to God and what you declare about him. Remember I said that. So it's not just what he hears, but what you say so that everybody hears. Everybody else hears. And I gave an example that somebody, it's not just when you get into a mood of prayer, let us pray. Now let us praise God, It's good, but there's a way it comes off the cuff, you know. It just comes out spontaneously. They say, "Man, we are dead in this country." You say, "Why?" Because, you know, things are so expensive now. And without you fighting about it, let me go and pray about it. Just simply utter, "No, we are not dead. Those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good." God is the provider, not the state of the economy. Very calmly, very nicely. There's no discussion. It takes you 15 seconds to conclude that statement. And then you go on. But that's the praise of God you have declared. But there's another side of it. That's what I want to emphasize today. There are times you sit down and say, now I want to talk to the Lord. And you should do that often. Most of the time we pray, most of the time we want to talk to God. It's about our problems. And I want to discourage us from that today. Is it most of the time people talk to God, it's their problem. That is, they want to discuss the problems. And there's another thing. I said that before. I just want to emphasize it. When we now say want to praise God, it's more like, let's warm up to discuss the problem. Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, like, I tell you, I organize, for all of you come here. That's where we are, Kingdom World Ministries. I learned long ago from Kenneth Hagin that you should know the focus of each meeting, all right? And that's why we normally just do praying, just briefly, we pray, and then we go straight into the teaching because that is why we come most of the time, all right? Now, some people think it's a bit out of order to just start teaching until you have finished, or that we start teaching without doing a long praying, long clapping and singing and worshiping God. And I say, why is it out of order? Maybe simply because you think that is the order, you have to get away into his presence. I learned long ago that it's not necessary. If you want to praise God, it is good to praise God. Please, I'm not taking anything away from it. But if you want to study, if you want to gather to teach, nobody says you cannot teach without praising first. Are you getting the point I'm make? I have noticed that thing. In fact, I don't know any church I've ever been to, and every program goes the same way. There's prayer at the beginning. If it's a lot of our churches, like this man's church there, then they do small worship, you know what we call worship. Then we'll do fast praise. Then we'll do a longer, slow worship. And then we share one or two testimonies. I've always wondered that every program is exactly the same. What is this one? Is healing service the same way? Prayer service the same way? Teaching service the same way? You go through everything, every time. That's what Christians, human beings just find it hard to break away from that mold. I learned it long ago when I was in university. When I was in university, we learned it long ago. We stopped doing all. In fact, we learned some things then. We organized a program. If we say it's a drama outreach, not be drama. We pray our prayer before the program. The man invited didn't come to pray. You know what he came to do? To watch. And I remember one program we had hired main auditorium, one before we did in the church auditorium, then this one hired University of Benin main auditorium. Someone just grabbed microphone. Hey, you're all welcome. We are all welcome. We are welcome. Today you are going to, and that's it. Next thing is that they clear the stage. You see the people who are doing their dramas. At the end of the day, somebody gets up, makes an altar call. And believe me, it used to work. And when I started organizing programs, you go somewhere, we got let us pray. We pray 10 minutes. In fact, many times I've told people here that, listen, focus your prayer on the meeting for the day. You know, if it's a teaching meeting, like we do on Saturdays, focus the prayer around the meeting for the day. 10 minutes after, let me have the mic. I start teaching. We didn't gather to praise God here, did we? Let's not deceive ourselves. What did you do to gather to do? We came to learn. It's a teaching service. And I maintain that all the time. Now, I'm not trying to make an issue. That it's not right for us to use praise to warm up towards what we want to do. You know, just by the way, I'll get to my main thing. You know, I chat here and there. Once I was in a program, I went for a meeting, like a leaders meeting. Big men, you know, leaders. So they said, the main man was not yet around. They said, what do we do? I said, okay, somebody now gave me, said, maybe let just start praying. Let's start praying. Or, Pastor Banky, what will you do now? Give me the microphone. I collected. I said, praise the Lord. I said, the main guy is not yet around, so let us sit down. When he gathers, when he comes, we'll regather. What? I said, yes. Well, who do you want to deceive? We came for a meeting with somebody. He hasn't come, so I should start preaching. Now, it's different when we say it openly. Like, guys, we have 15 minutes to waste, so what do we do? Okay, somebody, let's share something now. You know, we know. But not like, praise the Lord, as we are gathered today, the move of God is going to be powerful. Praise God. And you say, where is he? Has he reached 90 miles? You're just wasting people's time. I was an MC for one program, you know, when I was in Lagos, all right? It was a Christian program, big program. Students organized it with the doctors and all of that. So I was one of the MCs. So then I said, what's the next thing on the program they told me? Where are they? They said they are not yet ready. So what should we do? They said, maybe we should be singing. I said, give me the mic. Praise the Lord. The next issue is the drama. But the drama people are not ready. So all of you, please sit down. We'll wait for them for the next 5 minutes. When they are ready, we'll continue. People look at me like, what? I said, look, you people, I don't think it's fair on God to tell him you are praising him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And tell people they are praising God because you just want to waste while away the time. So I said, look, sit down there. The drama people are not ready. People looked at me like, this guy is strange. I said, yes. If you have something else to do, let's do it. But prayer and praise, no, I don't accept. And I've been in meetings where I sense it, that that's what they are doing. The man of God is not ready. So they just keep on, oh, hey, Abraham. I just carry my Bible, everything, just walk away outside and go and wait there. When people are ready, I'll come back inside. Or I sit down on my seat there. You can't move from that seat. I'm serious. Because I know what you are trying to do, and I don't think it is right. Just by the way, you know, I say many things. Just by the way. That's why those are when we used to do drama when we were in school and all of that. If we are doing a program and it's drama session, we're the ones organizing it. If you serve food, we walk off the stage. That was my rule. Say, listen, this drama is for 15 minutes. It is, you cannot be eating. After I have rehearsed and rehearsed, you will not be eating while I'm acting. You're not serious. So my friend Chooks and I, we said, no, we used to tell whoever is in charge, listen, how many minutes for the drama presentation? You tell us. You don't serve food that time. If you want to serve food, we are not doing. There is a time for everything. The time to work, the time to act. The Lord is good. Now, these are just by the way things. Let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. So, a lot of times when we want to pray, we use these prayers and stuff, you know, to warm up towards the real matter. I don't think it is right. Let's get back to bonding with the Lord. Talking to God, all right, in itself, it's a prayer matter. I mean, like, it's an appointment. Let me put it like that. It's a prayer. And it does not always have to be about your problem. It doesn't always have to be. And I really don't think he likes it like that. And that's why we read from that Psalm 45. When he said, my heart overflows with a good thing. For that reason, I address my verses to the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And then I began to say things to the king. And that's how God is also. You know, that's why we read from that Psalm, also from the book of Revelations. You see, the elders will say things to God. Are you getting my point? Thou art this. Thou art that. In fact, there's another translation. If I read the New American Standard Translation, the way Psalm 91 is, I normally like quoting the King James, but let me read the New American Standard, Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 2, King James says, I will say of the Lord. New American said, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you getting my point? That is, it is not just about committing the day unto the Lord in the morning when you are praying. There are times you just take out time and say, let me tell God a few things. This is what you are to me. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes people tell you that the quickest way to a man's heart is what? Through his stomach. That's only if you married a man with a food problem. I've been married now almost 13 years. And I can assure you of one thing. Food is not the closest thing. And I have many friends who are both married, are planning to marry. You understand my point? And food, the quickest way to their heart is not their stomach. If that was the case, everybody would have married the woman who runs the buka. Do you get my point? I mean, there are some nice eating joints you go. Do you care who the proprietress or proprietor who runs the business? What do you concern you? You work your food and you move. Let me tell you now, ladies, let me tell you the truth. You know, we say many things, all right? We still get our point across, all right? Ladies, guys, I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking about you. If there's a man beside you, tell him he's talking about you. If a man talk to man, just say he's talking about you, tell him. He's talking about you. This is about you, all right? You're talking about yourself too. Yes, I know. So ladies, listen to this. The quickest, clearest, most effective way to a man's heart is his ears. Are you getting my point? It is what? His ears. That is the quickest, clearest, most shortcut way to his heart. In fact, let's even look at it like this. For those of you who know a bit of biology, all right? Everything connects through the brain, you know? The heart is not in your chest, you understand? The physical heart is in your chest, but the spiritual heart is not in your chest. It's a spiritual matter, all right? And the connection physically to it is the brain, okay? Let's try and gauge the distance. Between the stomach and the brain, can you see how long the nerve that's connecting it is? The ear. In fact, it's shorter than the eye, than the distance. The ear is right there. The deep, if you go inside there, well, there's this particular bone that winds like snail. It's just right there, under. You shoot a few nerves right inside the brain. That is why I say, woman, one thing you must not do is nag. You hear what I said? Nag. You grind the man with talk. I've been telling this the seventh time I'm telling you this thing. After a while, all the man is hearing is like a bee or mosquito. You know what is going on? I'm really, remember our relationship, all right? With God is like that between a man, all right? And his wife, yes. The shortest, clearest, openest, is that a proper, is that a word like that? Is the ears. There are many things my wife has given me over the last, we knew each other for about a year and a few months before we got married. Between then and now, she has given me many, many things. But one thing I keep referring to, which I hardly am able to forget, is a book by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest, she bought for me on the first birthday after we got married. Was it the first? Yes. Well, in December, my birthday is in April. On it, she wrote on it, to my husband, teacher, and mentor. I've not forgotten that. I don't chop all kinds of food. Food come, food go. You understand my point? After all, food come, Jesus said, then it goes the other way, into somewhere else. The Lord is good. But the words that they plant inside your ears, ladies, listen. You want a man to love you? Forget your makeup and your fine dress. Forget that one. Talk to him in a manner that shows that you value his opinion and you think he's wise, he's sensible, he's strong. Tell him. I'm telling you, these guys are looking like they don't know what I'm talking about. That's what they are looking for. When women come and meet me and say, who should I listen? If there are 15 men chasing you, first, there's a way to eliminate them. No, there's a spiritual principle of elimination. You know that? Yes. When they wanted to choose a replacement for Judas, they used that principle. All right? Anybody that has not been with us from the beginning, out. If you were not there during the crucifixion, out. Where were you? Out. When they finished eliminating, only two people remain. So this is one very neat, easy way to eliminate people. You say, hey, Pastor, there are five of them. I don't know which one. Listen, it is because you don't understand certain principles here. Let me give one to you. And this is how it happened. A friend of mine had that issue also, a young woman. I told a story in my book, should I say yes? Three guys were on her case. I told about talked about two of them in the book. And the one she loved the most was the one that if you're selling him for 5 kobo, I wouldn't buy. He loved the guy. At the end of the day, I said to her simply, can you trust this guy to lead you in life? Give you direction, he goes in front and you follow him. She's head banking. It's like this. If he says, close your eyes, give me your hand, I want to take you somewhere. He said, I will close one eye like this, open the other one like this. This was exactly how she did her eye daddy for me. I said, okay. And we are still talking about it. I said, listen straight. Don't marry him. This one is not, you know, I normally don't like giving advice like that. This one was blunt. I said, don't try it. Don't even try. I don't care how much you love him. That love is mistaken. That love is blind. That is, and I don't mean love is blind in a good way. I mean, this is stupid love. Love that won't lead you anywhere. It won't help you. And to marry a man that you can't trust. Any man you think doesn't have sense is not your husband. Are you getting my point? That is, if your opinion of him is that, don't mind him, there he goes again, carrying hair like a sugomu. That's, if that's your thought towards him, forget the guy. Forget him sharp, sharp. Now, let me get back. No, you know, I like to drop things by the way. And guys, stop pursuing women that are not excited to hear your voice. It's not the will of God. You want to hear it? Let me say it again. It is not the will of God. If the sound of your voice does not, you know, when Mary talked, the child kicked in the stomach of Elizabeth. If her stomach does not kick at the sound of your voice, the Bible says, if you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. So let me explain the point I'm making. So that's how it is. I'm talking about praise. That's why I brought that issue up. All right? Look. Oh God, I just can't leave this matter. You see? Let me just sit down there. You know, all those people that will be telling you they use witchcraft to snatch a woman's husband. I told that this most of those witchcraft is behavior matter. You understand my point? Yes. You know, it's not. There's nobody in any coven. There are very few people that know the direction of the coven. Most human beings are afraid to go out at night. It is true now. I know what I'm telling you. What is it? Yeah, coven. Covens are hard to find. Waka enter bush for night. You go trek, na snake go bite you. You won't see one coven. You get what I'm saying? Most human beings are afraid to go out at night, including the ones you think they are witches. So forget that. Those girls they are not witches. I say, they go to Dibia. Listen, the Dibias, the Babalawos, they know the trick. But with the trick, they give you small chalk. You think the chalk is working. It's not the chalk that is working. It's the trick. There's one story when we were young then. We read from books. They said that, I remember the title of it, that it is the patient person that milks the lion. It's a Yoruba book. But I remember the story. One woman and her husband were already having issues. So the nurse said they wanted to do hot jazz for her. She went to one Babalawo. So this medicine we want to do, once we do it, your husband will love you. He will come back home. You will be the wife that he married that time all over again. Ah, the woman said, thank God though. They said, but there's a problem. What is the problem? The medicine needs one crucial ingredient. What is it? The milk of a lioness.